Good morning.
Good morning.
Cheers. Dear monastics, Mother Melania. Father Stefan, one of my oldest friends, is a consummate church musician and a musician just in general. If you've heard him play bugle or hear him sing folk songs or something else, you know that he brings a true musicality to that. He's was choir director at the St. Tikhon's Monastery and seminary when you were young, right?
When?
I beg your pardon.
Well, he's always talking about this or that ache, so, you know. And he was uniquely qualified to do that, having grown up in a parish with a cantor from the old country who just shared all that wisdom and knowledge and all those melodies with him. So he was able to, when I met him back in 1979 or 78, I can't remember exactly. 79. He was sharing all these wonderful special model melodies, Prosomia Podobin, and his choir in Cumberland was an amazing place to, that was an amazing parish to visit, because what you would hear from that choir was music that you didn't hear anywhere else.
Yeah, then.
Then, Greek chant, Galician, Ruthenian, Carpetho, Russian music, wonderful, really inspiring. And it was at that point, I was in music school in Boston. He became my mentor. I went to see him during the summer, maybe four or five times for, I don't know, each summer. And I take my recorder, my cassette recorder, with my friend Father Patrick, who's the iconographer at our parish. And we'd sit there and we'd say, Father Stefan, okay, sing this. What do you have this week? And he would sing the supplicatory canon, or you would sing the lamentations, or you would sing all the Podobin that you knew with your wife Elaine, and was sharing all this wealth with us. The best way to learn, of course, is in person, when someone can teach you the living tradition. His knowledge of the liturgy, I mean, look at this notebook. I've never seen so many paper clips.
I learned that from Jennifer.
You know it's going to be good. He's the pastor at St. Nicholas Orthodox Church in San Anselmo. Been there about 15 years now?
20? It's going to be.
20 years.
It's going to be 20 years.
Boy, time has flown. And the one thing I want to share with you is I've known Father Stefan for, 35 years? And here I am at this lecture because he always has something to teach us and always has something to say. It's never going to be stale. It's never going to be the same old thing. It's going to be illuminating. And so I give you applause.
Thank you. Prayers. Good morning to everyone, fathers and mothers, brothers, sisters. First of all, it's really timely that today, of course, is the first day of the Nativity Fast. So to everyone, happy Advent. And we celebrate the coming of our Lord. And it's fitting that today we're going to talk about the Eucharist, which is our entrance into both the fruits of God's first coming and are already the inauguration of his second coming. The title which we had for today was, and by the way, I was going to bring my alarm clock to put up here, that we divided into three sections today, so someone's going to have to let me know, you know, just set off the alarm and say, okay, now it's time for a break. I won't even be able to see that. But you'll have to actually just do it. Like say, okay, it's time. The Divine Liturgy communicating or communing both vertically and vertically, meaning between us and God in the Holy Trinity, and horizontally, meaning that communion is with the Creator, with creatures, and creation. When we partake of the Holy Eucharist worthily and in faith, we are united to Christ and through Him to one another. Now, I need to frame this in a particular context, and somewhere between the 10th and 11th centuries, the Divine Liturgy of St. John Chrysostom, for some unknown reason, and by the way, we're going to talk for hours about this, but it's still going to be unknown in the end. For some unknown reason, it became the principal Eucharistic liturgy of Constantinople, replacing that of St. Basil the Great. And this change represents a dramatic shift in the liturgical practice of the Orthodox Church. And when and why did that change occur? That's what we're going to talk about today. Now, not as an academic study, but as a means at looking at that change, a means to take a closer look at what actually happens during the Divine Liturgy. And right off the bat, I want to say that a lot of what I have to say today is based on a clergy retreat, which was given in Dunlap a couple years ago by Father Alcibiades Kalivas. I learned so much from that encounter that I want to share some of that with all of you today. Before we address these questions, however, there are some brief general remarks on the Divine Liturgy are in order so that our topic, we can place it in a liturgical and historical context. Now, I had no idea when we rolled in today, who would be here. And I see lots of very familiar faces, and some that I just met, and some that I don't know. So it's hard for me to have a grasp on what everyone's background. I don't know if it is it worthwhile. I think since this is a retreat and an all-day, it might be just worthwhile for everybody to introduce themselves and just say your name and where you're from. If you're from one of the Bay Area parishes, or if you're not, it will just really help me as I digress from this of which way, how to do the tacking, so to speak, with the sail, that will help very much. So if we could do that, okay.
Well, I'm Sister Marguerite. I'm from the monastery.
But not just, even if you could say what your obedience is, that would be helpful. I think.
Well,
be quiet.
So, I'm the choir director,
okay.
Among other things.
Masha Zahara from St. Nicholas Church in San Anselmo.
Mother Melania, I'm the superior here. I don't have any obediences.
I'm Fotini Bunker from Santa Rosa's St. Seraphim's.
Mother Anna from the monastery.
Okay, well that's good to have a picture of that, and thank you and welcome to everyone.